May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, our Master, and our King. Amen. You may be seated. Today is the second sermon in our sermon series on stewardship. Stewardship. Wisely using that which God has given us. Last week it was time. And we saw that God took the time to save us. And we ended with the question, so what are you going to do about it? Today we're going to look at talents. The talents that God has given us and how we wisely use those talents. What does the Bible say about those talents or those gifts that God gives us? Well, if we look into 1 Corinthians 7:7, Paul writes and says, "But each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that." And I want you to listen to those very first words again. But each man has his own gift from God. Notice it doesn't say, but some people have gifts from God. It's each. Each means each person, every person has a gift, has a talent that comes from God. And those gifts are given, one for this, another for that, because God has a plan. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 12:4, but there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Again, that idea that there's many different talents that God gives, but there's only one God. There's only one Holy Spirit who works through those gifts. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 12:11 and says, "All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each just as He determines." In a nutshell, God's in control. God is God. He is the Creator. And He has a plan, and He's determined how best to accomplish that plan. And part of that determination is each person here, each person has been given talents, has been given gifts that God expects us to use to fulfill His will. It's right there in Scripture. That's what it says. And that's where then Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 continues on and says, We are the body of Christ, and each person individually members of it. Some might be a heart, some might be a kidney, some might be a finger, some might be feet, some might be eyes. But when you think about that analogy, each person is a part, a member of the body. Then each talent or gift that is given is a function of that part. For instance, your heart. It's good to have a heart, isn't it? It's even better if the heart's working. If the heart isn't functioning, what good is the heart? If the kidneys are not functioning, what good is a kidney? If the finger isn't working, what good is the finger? This past week, I had a little bit of experience with some of that. There's a part of my body that didn't want to function too well. My eye. Now, thank the Lord He's given me two. But I have an eye disease. And as a result, I have to wear hard contact lenses. Glasses won't give me the vision. My corneas are way out of shape. So I have to put hard contact lenses on and they reshape my eye so that I can see. Take them out, I'm legally blind. Put them in, 20/20. I cut this one. Doctor said, can't wear your contacts. I can't wear my contacts?
Well, you can't wear the one in your right eye. Can I wear the one in my left eye? Yes.
So this week I've been going around with one eye working, one eye not working. Do you know what it's like to try to read a Bible when one eye is working and the other is not? It gets to the point that this eye becomes a liability. It's easier to sit there at my desk like this. Cover this eye up, keep it open, but cover it up and read with the one that works. Because this one, if I try to do it with the other one, this one takes this one down. And I can't read a blooming thing. A body part isn't working. It becomes a liability. Think about it. If your right foot doesn't work, how easy is it to walk? It'd be easier to just ignore it, get crutches, and move around with the one leg in the crutches. You see, if a body part's not working, it really is a liability. We are to use our parts. We are to use our gifts, our talents, because they are the function of the body of Christ. And, you know, this is why the evangelists, the apostles, they write and they tell us how important it is for the body to be working, to using the functions. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. Do not neglect your gift which was given you. Remember, each person's been given a gift. What's the Bible say? Do not neglect your gift. Peter writes the same thing, basically. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Faithfully. Faithfully means you're always using it. Again, coming back to the body. How would you like it if your heart wasn't faithfully beating? How would you do? Not well. That's what causes you to die. We must faithfully use the functions, those gifts, those talents that are given to us, because that's why God has given us those gifts. If we don't, we are a liability. And how can I say that? Think about it. If we go back to what I read at the very beginning from 1 Corinthians, each man has his own gift from God. Each one is given just as he determines. Each one should use his gift to faithfully administer God's grace. We are given our talents to fulfill God's word. If we are not using our talents faithfully, God's will is not being accomplished. And it's a sad, sad day if God's will is not being accomplished within His church, within His own body. It's a horrid thing. I think again of our bodies. How would we feel if a part of our body isn't working? It's devastating. And it's the same for the Christian body. In fact, if we aren't using our gift, I would say it's a sin. It is a sin of omission. Omission, when we omit doing what we should do. But you know what? And you might not like this. It's more than just using those talents God has given us. And you might say, wait a second, Matt. How can it be more than using it? Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. Fan into flame the gift of God. Fan into flame. Now that's something I understand. Why? Because I've been with our youth group and they know all about fanning into flame. All I have to do is take them to Yosemite. Get there in the campground and let them just see that there's a fire ring. And they're off and they're getting wood. Lots of wood. And we put it in the fire pit. And all I have to do is provide a little spark. Just a little spark. Can't let them play with matches. I'm the grown-up. I get to do that. But just... and put it down there. And as it starts to grow, they're down. And I got two of these guys laughing here now. They're down there. They're fanning in the flame. If they can find a piece of cardboard or something, you get all of them around it. The flame starts growing. Throw wood on! Throw wood on! Oh, Mr. Dewar, please, can't we just have one can of lighter fluid? It'll really burn well then. And in no time, our fire is fanned in the flame and it's a beautiful fire. So beautiful that the neighbors from across the river are calling over and saying, that fire is too large. It was a fine fire. When the ranger came to our campsite and said, now, Matt, the campground rules are that the flame's not supposed to go over 2 feet. We heard something about 16 to 20 feet high. Well, I think that might have been just a little exaggeration. Not much. They fanned it into flame. And everybody saw our fire. We began to listen, you know, for air raid drops coming in. We thought for sure the Forest Service probably saw this thing. That's fanning in the flame, and that's the sort of enthusiasm that we as Christians are supposed to have about the gift God has given us. Paul says, fan into flame the gift of God. Why? Did you hear the gospel? We've heard this verse so many times from Matthew, where Jesus says, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. How do you let your light shine? How do you get that fire going so that the neighbors around can see it? Your good deeds. What are good deeds? Using the gifts God has given you. Why? So that they may praise your Father in heaven. This is what God has determined. This is God's plan. And this is how it's supposed to work. And if we're doing it correctly, people will see. And you know, as I was preparing this sermon, I asked myself, will people really see? And the answer came back with an absolutely resounding yes. Because as I asked myself that, I asked myself, did I see? Did I see the body of Christ working as I grew up? And right away, I thought of my childhood heroes. And I'm not talking about Superman or Spider-Man or the guys that are found in the comic books. Though I will say, I had a certain preference towards Batman. I liked the show on TV. I liked that Batman, you know, could drink buttermilk and it would coat his stomach. And then if the Riddler gave him poison, it had no effect on him. And so I will be honest, when I was a child, I began to drink buttermilk. Not that I was worried my parents were going to poison me, you know. I questioned some of my classmates. But you know, really, I don't remember all that much about the Batman show other than the buttermilk. But you know what I do remember? I remember Alex Reckling. He's an old guy in the church back home. Alex Reckling had grown up in Fresno. He had worked in Fresno for Texaco. When he retired, he moved to Bishop. Wanted to be someplace where he could fish. Alex Reckling had a voice. He could sing. And Alex Reckling, boy, let me tell you, he sang in the choir. As Alex got a little older, Alex got a little slower. The choir was here and Alex was here. But let me tell you, his voice was still beautiful and he was singing praises to God. And he was just smiling. Just smiling. There was such a love of singing to the Lord. And as a high schooler, I sat there and I admired that man. I just admired him. Man, what a great man. And then one day after church, I was a sophomore. After church, he came up to me. We were in our fellowship time, and we did it outside in this courtyard area. And he just came up to me and put his hand on my shoulder, and he said, "Matt, I was reading the Inyo Register. I saw your name in there. That sounds like you're doing a great job in basketball. You keep that up. I'm proud of you." I'll tell you what. My feet did not touch the ground as I walked home. Not only did Alex Reckling had a gift of a voice, he had the gift of encouragement. And from that Sunday on, he always would say just one or two words, and boy, it picked me up. Then there was Hook Herman. Oh, I love Hook Herman. Hook Herman was the last official trapper for the state of California. His job was to go through the Sierras, and whenever they had a problem with a mountain lion or something like that, his job was to trap it. Now, environmental laws had come along and everything. You couldn't shoot a mountain lion. You had to trap it. And basically then kill it by hand if it needed to be killed. Hook Herman was a walking scar. He had to be at least 143 years old. Or so he looked. But Hook was a short, very stocky man. When he walked, kind of like this. And when he talked, it was the classic talk. Hook always talked like this. "I'll tell you, baby, 43 is up mountains and big mountains. I'll take care of it." I couldn't understand half the words he said. But Hook Herman had a gift. Two of them. His hands. Those hands were powerful. And he brought those hands at least twice a week to church. He came to church and he would just look for things to do. Something was broken, he fixed it. If there wasn't anything broken that needed to be fixed, he'd build something so that there would be something to break. Hook fixed every fence. Hook fixed the lawnmowers. Hook fixed everything. When I again was a sophomore in high school, I had finally learned that I could jump. And this was a wonderful thing. Because then I realized I could slam the basketball. And I began to become very proficient at that. And we had a basketball hoop on the garage. And you know, I'm doing slam dunks, you know, poosh, poosh, just doing them. And then pretty soon I was like, you know, when you do a slam dunk, you want to really do it powerful. Well, I've seen people that have broken the backboard when they've done it. So then I started, you know, as hard as I could. And one time I did that, and guess what? The rim broke. It broke away, and it plunk, was hanging there. I went to Dad and I said, "Dad, basketball rim broke. Think we can get a new one?" And Dad looked at me and he says, "I don't think the basketball rim broke.
I think you broke it. You want a new one? Go buy it.
Well, I don't have any money.
You probably should have thought of that before you broke it. My dad had the gift of honesty. I had no money. What was I to do? I pleaded with my dad. Dad, I don't have any money. I don't have a job. I'm in school to play basketball.
My dad said, go down to the high school, break their rims.
I don't want to go down there. I've been down there all day at school. I was very upset with my dad. I came home the next day. There's the basketball rim. Perfectly level. Couple additional pieces of metal, angle iron put on. Hook had been to church that day. He saw that the rim was broken. Why, he always carried a portable welding kit, you know, in his truck, along with every other tool known to mankind. He had taken it down and he fixed that rim. So, well, by gollies, I think that rim's going to probably last till the Lord returns. Because I think he put like I-beams on it or something. It was powerful. It hurt if I tried to slam it from then on. Hook. He had gifts. He used them. Then there was Bill Ellis. Bill Ellis worked for Southern California Edison. He was the same age as my parents. He led our youth group. My dad was single pastor at the church. Bill Ellis, no formal training, he led our youth group. Showed up every time for every youth group meeting with the sombrero on. We just looked at him and just insisted that we called him Mr. Bill. Those of you who ever watched Saturday Night Live, you know. We'd look and we'd see him and we'd go, oh no, it's Mr. Bill! And he'd laugh and he'd, okay, let's... He had this wonderful gift of organization, the wonderful gift of leadership, and he led us in Bible study. He led us in hiking, in everything. He's the one who got me hooked on hiking. I used to hate to hike. We'd go on vacation, and my dad would say, let's go hike to the top of that waterfall. And I'd say, it looks perfectly fine from here. I mean, that was hard to climb up those things. It was Bill Ellis who said, we're starting a hiking sig. You're going to love it. Hiking sig? Yes, a hiking special interest group. We're going to call ourselves the Gospel Stompers. I didn't like that particular name, but shoes back then, hiking boots, were called Waffle Stompers. And he got us hooked on hiking to realize how beautiful nature was, to realize that this was God's creation. Then there was Jody Kothman. Jody Kothman had this fantastic gift. I know it's a gift that is appealing to many people. It's a gift that one or two people here in our church have. She had the gift of hospitality and baking. To this day, I look forward to Jody Kothman's Christmas cookies. She always bakes them. She always hands them out. She makes these rum balls that are just to die for. And every year, she'll always ask my parents, is Nat coming home? If I'm coming home, there'll be a dozen waiting for me. Childhood heroes. Superheroes. I had a person in our congregation who wrote me a little letter this week. Probably didn't realize it would be in the sermon. But they talk about a hero. Person writes and says, hi, Pastor Matt. I'm finally around to writing to let you know my favorite hymn and the reasons why I remember it so well and what it means to me. As a young service member stationed at Hamilton Field near San Rafael, I remember attending Christian rallies on Saturday night in Oakland at the auditorium there. This was during the mid-50s and the group consisted of young people between the ages of 16 and 21. They were bused in from all over the Bay Area and the service was non-denominational. The Oakland Auditorium holds thousands of people, and each night the place was packed. When you talk about Promise Keepers, it reminds me of the scene back then. As I recall, they opened the service and closed it by singing,
He lives. When 20,000 young people sing that song, it literally makes the hair on the back of the neck stand up, and you get just a tiny touch of what heaven must be like. Talk about the right way for young people to spend Saturday night. I'm sure that time has enhanced the memory and that Youth for Christ was not as perfect as I remember. But I have not forgotten what it's like to hear that many young people sing, "I serve a living Savior. He's in this world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say." I still get a special lift out of this hymn and the special, special words that ring so true when I hear it. Well, we'll get that lift today. We're going to sing that hymn. But you know, those people in Youth for Christ, young people who gave their lives to the Lord, organized these events, sang the songs. Here it is, 50 years later, and they're still remembered. A childhood hero. Are you a childhood hero? Will you know it? When I look at those in my life, and I'm telling you, I do not go back to my parents' house in Bishop ever without, as I start getting closer to Bishop, without thinking of Alex Reckling, Hook Herman, Bill Ellis, Jody Kaufman. And you know, if you would talk to them and you said, "Hey, did you know that you made a lasting impact on somebody?" I think every one of them would have said, "No." In fact, they probably would have responded in one of the most biblical ways possible. Jesus says in Luke 17, verse 10, that we are to respond, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." I know that's how they felt. Because one time I said something to Hook. He was out there. He had been working out in the field behind the church, cutting down the weeds. Fire marshal said we had to. As he did, a little thing happened. It's called a black widow. Fell down out of the tree, inside his shirt. But as it went down his shirt, it stung him. Boom, boom, boom. Three times across the chest. He got his shirt off. He killed that black widow. Had these three big welts. My dad was out there, you know, talking. He was very animated. I went out there and, you know, my dad was telling him, "Go to the hospital." And Hook was, "Oh, it's just a little spider. It won't be bad. It's a little bit." And he kept working. And I was amazed. And I asked him a while after that, I said, "Hook, why do you always do this? You're always here at the church. You fix my basketball hoop. You fix the fences. You keep working when you're bit by a black widow." His response, "Oh, God's given me so much. It's the least I can do. I can never repay Him." It was only his duty. Did God give you a voice that can sing? Did He give you hands that work? Did He give you a spirit of encouragement like an Alex Reckling, or a spirit, or the ability to organize, to lead like a Bill Ellis? Did He give you hospitality or the ability to bake like a Jody Kaufman? The ability to inspire, like Youth for Christ did in Oakland? He's given all of us some of those gifts. Every one of us here. Is your light shining? If it is, how bright is it? Is it just a little fire? Does it need to be fanned in the flame? I truly believe that as a church, it's a time to be a rip-roaring campfire. One that the people on the other side of the river call and say, "That fire is too large!" When it's that big, it's a fine fire. It's time to burn with the gifts that God has given us. It's time to look. It's time to use them. It's time to shine. Our youth have a t-shirt. I love it. It's not because I ordered it. Actually, I didn't. Brian did. But on the back of the shirt, when they go down and they feed the homeless, this is what it says. Somewhere, anywhere, everywhere, take God there. Somewhere, anywhere, everywhere, take God there and shine with His love. In our Savior's name, amen.